Every city has a story, and this one is about San Diego. You might know it as a paradise of ocean and sunshine, but as the most biodiverse region in the country, and one half of the second largest binational metropolis in North America, it's also a battleground. We're talking with the creatives, environmentalists, and social justice warriors who've been on the front line fighting for progressive planning in this uniquely special city. Citizens Coordinate for Century 3 invites you to listen, learn, and enjoy this episode of The Finest City.
Welcome to The Finest City's Knowledge to Action series, where we interview movers and shakers affecting six areas of land planning in our region. These six areas, also known as C3's Knowledge Action Networks, are the Urban Core, Mesas, Valleys, and Canyons, the San Diego Bay, the Border, Coastline and Wetlands, and the Backcountry. I'm your host, Jen Whitelaw, and this program will focus on the San Diego Bay. I'm speaking with Greg Murphy, Fugro's Coastal Resilience Lead in the Americas. Fugro is a world leader in providing geodata consulting by mapping, modeling, and monitoring information about our planet and the structures built upon it. Greg is also vice chair of the board at San Diego Maritime Museum. Previously, he worked as a director at a cellular aquaculture firm and as executive director for TMA Blue Tech, the largest organized business cluster in the U.S. for dual-use ocean and water technologies. Basically, Greg knows a lot about aquaculture, blue tech, environmental resilience, and the San Diego Bay. Okay, thanks for joining the show, Greg. Can you please introduce yourself and tell us a bit about your professional journey that kind of led you to your current position?
Absolutely, Jen. Thank you for having me, first of all, and thanks for the opportunity to share my passion for the ocean. I've been working on blue economy for about 15 years, developing the sustainable, innovative technologies and industries of the blue economy. The ocean is so important for us as a species, for our planet, and for the species that live in the ocean. Most people actually don't know that the ocean is 71% of the surface of our planet. It's 99% of all habitat. You think about the small, thin layer of atmosphere that we live in. And you think about how deep and how much deeper the ocean actually is. That's why it's 99% of all habitat where organisms live. It has 80% of all biodiversity. It's the largest carbon sink on the planet. And yet very few people are focused on the importance of the ocean. The ocean's critical for the future of humanity. That's why I've spent most of my adult life developing these sustainable ocean industries. We need to derive value from the ocean, but do it in a sustainable way. And we need to protect the ocean in order to protect ourselves. So I've spanned this world of blue economy from the policy perspective, working with County Supervisor Gray Cox when he was still on the County Board of Supervisors and a huge champion of the blue economy, his role in the Coastal Commission, his role on the National Ocean Council, focus on ocean policy at the state, local, national level. And then went into industry. I was executive director of TMA Blue Tech, a wonderful nonprofit trade association here in San Diego that organizes the Blue Tech cluster with the various stakeholders. Worked for a very innovative, exciting startup developing cell-cultured seafood, connecting the dots for sustainability for industry for one of the largest protein sources on the planet. And then just recently joined Fugro as the climate and nature lead for the Americas region. Initially focused on coastal resilience. We know some of the challenges that we're facing with sea level rise and climate change. So I'm excited to help Fugro bring the capabilities that it has in terms of mapping, modeling, and monitoring the planet and the structures that are built upon it to these emerging industries, whether talking about coastal resilience, ocean health, or inland water. It's very exciting.
Okay, so you talked about working in government and then blue tech. You also joined the board of the San Diego Maritime Museum. Can you tell me about what drew you to that organization?
That was easy. I love the Maritime Museum of San Diego. The people and the culture of the organization are really what drew me in. The museum is unlike most museums. We celebrate the everyday citizen. Most of us have a story in terms of how our family, you know, emigrated either to San Diego or wherever we live in the world. from a previous location. Many of those stories are about traveling by sea. And so the age of sail is a story that we tell through multiple centuries, through multiple generations. The Star of India is arguably one of the most visible manifestations of that age of sail. And our CEO, Ray Ashley, does a tremendous job of connecting the dots for people, for everyday citizens, about how the age of sail and specifically the vessels that we have are so important for describing maritime history. For me, maritime history is human history. Many of us have a story, like I just talked about. But it's also about the history of technology. So maritime technology, whether you're talking about navigation or seafaring, or even, you know, here we are, a Navy town, wireless communications, the ability to communicate to a vessel when it's beyond the horizon. And even the world of finance. You look at how the first publicly traded stock company was a maritime company. The Dutch East India Company. You look at some of the financial instruments that came out of that, whether you're talking about insurance or you're talking about short selling a stock. A lot of these are innovations that were developed by necessity out of the maritime industry. So maritime history is embedded into who we are as a people, who we are as a planet, but we also are connecting the dots from the innovative mindset of maritime history into the future. So innovative future blue technologies for solving some of our current challenges, whether you're talking about sea level rise or ocean health or inland water and these kind of things, are critical. It's the technologies and it's the people that develop those technologies and execute those solutions that we need to spend some time developing. And so workforce development, educating and getting the youth excited about maritime history and therefore their own future is going to be critical.
That's all fascinating. And our dedicated listeners will know that we spoke with Ray also about the Maritime Museum. So let's shift over to your day job. Can you tell us about the work that Fugro's doing beyond what you've already mentioned and why it's important to coastal resilience around the world?
Thanks for the question. I just recently joined Fugro, so it's been just a few months. But I've known Fugro for over a decade. When I was executive director of Team A Blue Tech, Fugro still had an office in San Diego and therefore had a membership and was on the board of directors of Team A Blue Tech. Fugro is the world's leading geodata specialist. So what does that mean? Geodata, think information about the planet. Think geo information, geospatial, geotechnical, geophysical, geochemical. That's where the geo comes from. The data comes from the collection of the information that is collected through various methodologies to understand what's happening. And so we do that by using various platforms, sensors, technologies to map the planet, whether it's on land or in the ocean. We model systems. We use the data. We put the data into model. We can project various systems into the future. And then again, we use sensors to monitor and validate those models. So those insights are very important for decision making, whether you are a government agency, an asset owner, an NGO, or a bank that's trying to figure out where to invest in various types of projects. You need data to make those decisions. So our data unlocks insights, enables that decision making process. And in our world at Fugro, we're supporting the energy transition. So think about offshore wind energy. We're supporting sustainable infrastructure. Think about climate resilience. And we're supporting climate change adaptation. I am part of a cross-regional climate and nature team at Fugro, which is connecting the dots from our current capabilities to these emerging markets, which are so critical. And what got me excited about joining Fugro is its scalability, because we are a very large company. We've been around 60 years. We're in 50 plus countries. We have 11,000 employees worldwide. It's that level of expertise and teamwork that is required to scale up solutions. And so when we're talking with various government agencies or NGOs about coastal resilience, we're often seen as the go-to resource for collecting the data, for mapping to adaptation, for modeling and monitoring those challenges, because we can do that at scale. So I'm really excited. So we do that with our partners. We do that with our clients. And our mission is to create a safe and livable world using data.
Okay, so let's link this conversation back home here at the Bay. Our Bay is beautiful, but it's also an economic engine for our region. So in terms of sea level rise and that threat, how are the Bay's prospects looking?
Yeah, great question. Always bringing it back home. So as you and your listeners would know, the Port of San Diego has a port master plan that is going through an iterative process with the approval agencies to update that master plan. It's been several years in the works, and they're including data and policy guidelines that are either developed locally or through the state of California, the Coastal Commission in particular, on sea level rise and the guidance document related to sea level rise. San Diego Bay benefits. We are a natural harbor. We have a deep channel. We've been very progressive in applying these policies and preparing for the future. So I feel quite optimistic about San Diego Bay and the developments that are already here and the developments that are coming in the future. I'll leave it to others to describe further what those developments are. But I've been quite pleased to see the work that the Port of San Diego is doing very proactively and very comprehensively to prepare for the future and get our planning house in order. So credit to that team. The Bay is a source of recreation. It's a source of industry, of jobs, of kind of a multifaceted ecosystem that is so unique. Actually, it's not quite. It's most people would recognize it's not like the Port of LA. It's not like the Port of Long Beach, the ports in the Bay Area. It's one of those special ecosystems that we have that do require that level of diligence. So I'm excited for the future. The prospects are bright.
Good. That's good to hear. And I know you and I talked earlier offline about a blue carbon stock assessment that focused on the seagrass areas of San Diego Bay. Can you tell us a bit about that study and really about what blue carbon stock is?
Yeah, so let me start with what is blue carbon? There are multiple definitions. It's an emerging area of climate talks. So you think of blue, you think of ocean, right? You think of carbon, you think of carbon sequestration. You think of natural ecosystems that sequester carbon over time. Many people think about the rainforest in the Amazon, for example, how the trees naturally sequester carbon through photosynthesis. Well, a similar system happens in the ocean and actually happens at a greater scale and with greater efficiency. Photosynthesis happens in the ocean, whether you're talking about deep ocean with photosynthetic organisms that are then consumed by larger organisms that are consumed by predators. And those predators, when they senesce, they generally fall to the bottom of the ocean where that carbon that has been sequestered lies and rests for centuries. So you think about why does the Gulf of Mexico, for example, have all these oil deposits? Well, it's because over millennia and through the natural life cycles of the ocean, this carbon has been sequestered at the bottom of the ocean where it's compacted over time, pressurized, and ultimately transformed into carbon-rich oil. And so those systems are going on, and if we let those systems happen, the ocean, again, is a natural system that naturally sequesters carbon. Same thing in the near-coastal environment. You think about seagrass, you think about mangroves. These are plants that naturally sequester carbon, and they do so highly efficiently. And so if we let seagrass do what it does, it will not only benefit the ecosystem and provide ecosystem-based services, it will benefit us by drawing down carbon out of the atmosphere, but also providing that coastal protection. So that when there is a storm or there are high wave events or there is flooding, it provides a buffer before it gets to the built environment. And that is critically important. And so down in South Bay in San Diego, there are literally hundreds of acres of seagrass meadows that are being protected, being restored through organizations such as the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the Port of San Diego, City of Imperial Beach, California Coastal Conservancy, Wild Coast. A lot of organizations are focused on this. And kind of and this is not the only area too. So there are also activities in Mission Bay. So the Audubon Society, for example, is promoting rewild Mission Bay to establish a greater presence of salt marshes, of seagrass. It's great to look at. It's great to envision what that means for carbon sequestration. It's great to envision what that means for coastal protection, risk reduction. But there's also a financial element that is emerging too. And so this whole idea of blue carbon is about converting these nature-based systems into bankable opportunities. So blue finance is a emerging area that we're watching quite closely.
Okay, so to follow up on that, and kind of to reference our previous conversation again, why and how should San Diego become the blue finance capital of the world? And I feel like I need an evil laugh after that question, but what do you think?
You said it perfectly. San Diego, it's our opportunity to lose. We should be the blue finance capital of the world. And that's because we have the elements that are needed. We have the ecosystems, whether it's Southern San Diego Bay, whether it's Mission Bay, or elsewhere along the coast. We have the technologies to map, to model, to monitor, to do the monitoring, validation, and reporting, which are critical if you're making an investment into something. You want to know how your investment's doing, so you want to monitor and validate, and then have a report at the end of it. We have Scripps Institute of Oceanography, one of the world-renowned oceanographic research institutes, where a lot of these technologies are developed, a lot of these systems are validated, and we have a willing series of government agencies, whether you're talking about the Port of San Diego, the City of San Diego, and many other agencies too. We have the ingredients to become the financial capital of the world for blue finance. I don't know of many other locations that all those things are true. So we should take advantage of that. And I think that there are some interesting financial mechanisms to do that. And so where that rubber hits the road is, okay, why do we need blue finance? Well, you need blue finance to fund the projects. It's about getting more capital into the ecosystem preservation system. It's about demonstrating success, perhaps in San Diego, and then replicating that success in other parts of the world. That could be the Caribbean. That could be small island developing states. Could be other developing nations in Latin America, for example, where, again, these are emerging opportunities, but we've got to be working together. We've got to be sharing solutions. We've got to be collaborating and driving this forward. Historically, nature-based systems have not been adequately valued, not in terms of their ecosystem services, but also in terms of their monetary value for humanity. And we need to replicate, and we need to develop that model and replicate that over the next decade.
Yeah, all great points. I know this isn't specifically your purview right now, but from what you've seen throughout your career, what are some of the ways that the Port of San Diego has supported blue tech so far?
I think it's been, well, first of all, the Port of San Diego has been a tremendous partner of the blue tech industry. It really began 15 plus years ago. The Maritime Alliance, as it used to be called, TMA Blue Tech, now that they've been renamed, started elevating the profile of blue tech. It was really a branding exercise because, of course, maritime technology has been around San Diego for decades. But it was a rallying cry around the importance of blue tech and the opportunity to develop this ecosystem, this cluster that we have in San Diego. To the Port of San Diego's credit, they've done a tremendous job of saying, yes, we are a major stakeholder and a leader in developing blue tech and developing blue economy. They developed the Blue Economy Incubator. They've put resources behind it in terms of staffing, but also financial investment. And they've created a test bed for testing technologies and other innovative solutions. So huge credit to the Port of San Diego. I still believe to this day they are the only, if not one of the few ports, I believe they're the only port that actually has a blue economy incubator that is managed by the port here in the United States. So that's a testament to their ingenuity, to their flexibility, the desire to be innovative and to create opportunities for small, medium-sized businesses to flourish.
Wonderful. Okay, so I guess what are some of the exciting things that are happening in San Diego's blue tech industry right now that you might know of and can share about?
Absolutely. It seems like every day there's a new exciting blue tech or blue economy thing that's happening in San Diego. I think some of your listeners might be familiar with the development of offshore wind in California. California, of course, has ambitious targets for greenhouse gas emission reduction. One of the ways that the state of California plans to replace fossil fuels is through offshore wind energy, in addition to solar and many others. Here in California, there is a strong wind resource. The wind resource, however, is going to be off of central and northern California, where the U.S. Navy does not operate as much. Here in San Diego, you're not going to see offshore wind off of our coast. But where San Diego does benefit is that we've got the shipbuilding capability. So I know, for example, General Dynamics NASSCO has an MOU, a partnership agreement with one of the leading developers of the vessels that are required to service the offshore wind industry. This is a huge opportunity. So that's one of the areas that I'm excited about with regards to blue tech and San Diego's connection. We talked about blue carbon earlier. Blue finance is an emerging opportunity. But I'm also excited about the cell cultured seafood space. So one of my former roles was with a company called Blue Nalu, and they're developing a new way of producing seafood directly from fish cells through an innovative technological process, and replicates the fish fillet in a way that tastes, looks, and performs the same way as traditional seafood, but without having to devastate the ocean. And so doing that in partnership with the seafood industry, I think, is critical. Our commercial fishermen here in San Diego, of course, have the Tuna Harbor Dockside Market. It's been around for, I think, almost 8 or 10 years. It remains a very popular destination for consumers, and it's an opportunity to have a conversation directly with commercial fishermen. Where did you catch it? How did you catch it? What gear type did you use? Where does this species typically where are they typically found? How do you prepare? So all these areas kind of all are in concert with each other, and help form this vibrant blue tech and blue economy, really, ecosystem that makes San Diego so special.
Absolutely. And you recently returned from the International Conference on Small Island Developing States, which sounds like it was probably fascinating. What knowledge did you take away from that conference that you think is relevant to San Diego and its bay and maybe our broader region?
Yeah, so the United Nations has a focus on small island developing states. It was about 40 years ago was the first conference that was focused on small island developing states. These conferences tend to happen every 10 years. And so the conference I just returned from was the fourth small island developing states conference. It was held in Antigua and Barbuda. It brought together thousands of people from around the world to focus on what was the theme of the conference, resilient prosperity. So preparing for climate change, but also focus on sustainable development. So small island developing states are responsible for 1% of greenhouse gases, and yet they will be feeling the impacts of climate change much sooner than developed nations, and much more intensely, whether you're talking about persistent storms, significant risk from coastal erosion, breakdown of ecosystems, loss of tourism. There are a number of challenges that are facing the SIDS. And so the conference really focused on bringing people together, establishing partnerships. What is the role of the private sector? How do we prepare and build resilience with nature? How do we promote sustainable development? And so the takeaway for San Diego is there's a lot happening. The challenges that San Diego have, or the opportunities that San Diego have, are very similar in some ways to the small island developing states. And so while we may believe we have all the answers in San Diego, oftentimes we have to look through small island developing states or other nations for some of those solutions. So it's about collaboration, it's about communication, it's about sharing. And let's work on these solutions together. Let's do so with a sense of urgency. Let's do so with a sense of how do we get there as efficiently, as scalable as possible. But let's focus on nature-based solutions together.
Absolutely. And I remember hearing that an island off of Panama just had to be permanently vacated because of sea level rise. So it's happening out there. Well, let's talk about something a little more fun. What are you working on now and what excites you the most? We'll make it positive here.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm excited actually. I mentioned earlier the Rewild Mission Bay. I was excited to see the City of Oceanside develop their re-beach program. Many of the residents in North County are very familiar with the beach erosion issues. The City of Oceanside said, we're gonna create a international competition to figure out how do we solve this persistent problem. And so they invited teams from around the world to propose solutions, went through a public vetting process, a very community-oriented process, and involved many stakeholders. And so they developed this re-beach program using nature-based solution as a North Star to figure out ways to re-beach or make sure that the sand stays on the beach. So I'm excited to see that further develop. That's still in the process of being finalized, but that's one example of a region saying, we're going to think a little bit outside the box. We're going to engage stakeholders early. We're going to tackle this problem with our eyes wide open and go forward together. At the end of the day, that's what it takes. I'm excited to see that.
That does sound good. Okay, so as we wrap up the interview, is there anything else you want our listeners to know or to do as it pertains to just advancing the ideas we've discussed today?
It's all about resilience. I think sustainable development goals through 2030. We're almost halfway through the decade. We're seeing some of the indicators point to the fact that we may not achieve all the sustainable development goals or even most of the sustainable development goals that the United Nations have set out. So what happens next? I think building resilience in terms of ecosystems, in terms of cities, states, kind of the municipal government level, but also personally, is going to be really important. So get out in nature, take a hike, experience the beauty that we have around us here in San Diego, visit the Maritime Museum of San Diego. I think that's one way we can all build resilience for our individual selves.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for spending this time with us, Greg.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Finest City. For more information about supporting C3, updates on our current advocacy initiatives, and to access special bonus materials about the podcast you just heard, visit c3sandiego.org.